The time is 6:00. I now call the Town of Castle Rock Planning Commission meeting of October 9th, 2025 to order. I'll ask the recording secretary to take the roll call.
Commissioner Martinez?
Here.
Commissioner Samuelson? Commissioner Salinas?
Here.
Commissioner Stanley?
Here.
Commissioner Sawin?
Here.
Vice Chair McHugh? Chair Warnke?
Here.
Town Council Liaison Mayor Gray? Brad Boland?
Present.
Brianna Grandy?
Here.
Mike Hyman? John LaSala? Matt Hayes? And Carissa Alstrom, here.
All members of the commission are present, with the exception of Commission Member McHugh and Commission Member Samuelson, who are absent. Mr. Boland, has this meeting and agenda been noticed in accordance with the requirements of the open meeting law?
It has.
Minutes from September 25th, 2025 Planning Commission meeting have been distributed to the commission. If there are no changes, additions, or deletions to the minutes, a motion to accept the minutes as presented will be accepted.
I motion to accept the minutes as presented.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I have a second.
Motion and a second. Recording secretary, please take the roll call vote.
Commissioner Martinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Salinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stanley?
Aye.
Commissioner Sawin?
Aye.
And Chair Warnke?
Aye. The motion is approved by a vote of 5-0. Public hearing items. PC 2025-025, Foundation Auto Dealership Site Development Plan, Lot 1, Foundation Automotive Filing 1. The commission must evaluate this proposal under criteria established under the municipal code as summarized in the staff report. The commission will hear from staff, applicant, and the public. Does any commission member have a conflict of interest or any other matter he or she would like to disclose prior to proceeding on this item? Public comments will be taken on all items, and speakers will be limited to 4 minutes per speaker. The commission has also accepted written comments to be entered into the record. Ms. Grandy, has your application been properly noticed for review in accordance with the municipal code?
Yes, it has.
Do you wish to enter the staff report and presentation in the public record?
Yes, please.
All right. Please begin.
Perfect. Good evening, Chair and Commission members. Thank you for the opportunity to present the site development plan proposal to you this evening. Foundation Auto Dealership is proposing a site development plan for an auto dealership and service facility. The proposed property is located at the corner of South Wilcox and Brookside Circle. The property is currently zoned as a planned development as the planned or Plum Creek West planned development, where automotive sales, repair, and service facilities are used by special review. The site plan proposes to construct a 32,826 square foot service center facility. The proposed building height is approximately 30 feet, which is allowed by the zoning, and all parking is accommodated on site with a surface parking lot. This project had a total of 3 neighborhood meetings. Only one person attended these 3 meetings. The applicant and the resident discussed where the sewer and water connections will be located, along with timing of construction. As part of the project review, additional criteria was reviewed to ensure impacts of the proposed use on surrounding uses have been mitigated, and the project design is compatible with the area. Staff finds that the proposed site development plan meets the municipal code criteria for use by special review. Staff also finds that the site plan conforms with the town vision and comprehensive master plan, meets the requirements of the Plum Creek West plan development plan and the zoning regulations, and meets the criteria in the municipal code for a use by special review and a site development plan. Staff is recommending that Planning Commission recommend approval of the Foundation Auto Dealership and Service Center to Town Council. Town Council meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, November 4th. The proposed motions were included in your staff report and on the screen. So that concludes staff's presentation. The applicant is also here and has a presentation for you as well.
All right. Do we have questions before the applicant presents? Great. Applicant, please approach. We do ask you speak loudly to overcome the crowd noise.
Oh, yeah. Is that okay?
Good evening, commissioners. How's that? Is that okay? All right. My name is Casey Adranya. I'm with Adranya Architecture and Development. We're the firm that's helping Foundation Automotive develop this site. I'll try not to get into too many details that Brianna's already touched on, but we'll just kind of hit kind of some of the key topics here. Next slide, please. As Brianna stated, it's a 6.43-acre site, around almost 33,000 square foot auto dealership. It'll be showroom in the front, service drive on the north side, and the back of the building will be primarily for service. Approximately 385 parking spaces are proposed, and it's assumed or estimated that there'll be approximately 50 people employed once this is complete. Next slide, please. You guys, I'm sure already have a pretty good idea of the location here. It's at the south end of the existing dealerships off of Wilcox, directly adjacent to I-25 with kind of major streets, Plum Creek Parkway to the north and Crystal Valley Parkway to the south. Next slide, please. Zooming in a little bit more. As Brianna stated, it's Wilcox and what used to be Brookside Circle. Brookside Circle has since been vacated from the new Chrysler Jeep dealership to the north. There's a new turnaround at that end. So basically from that point where you kind of see Colorado Trailers all the way to the south where it connects into Wilcox Street, that's all been vacated since this has been done. Next slide, please. So the access point here is at the intersection where Brookside Circle previously intersected Wilcox. So that's already kind of been created as an access point. So that's the access that will be used for the site. It's 3/4 movement, so basically right in, right out. Basically, the only movement that is restricted here would be southbound, so turning left out of the development. That is the only movement that is restricted. If someone were wanting to go south on Wilcox, they can head north internally through the existing dealerships. This dealership will have internal access through the other dealerships and then can move to turn left or south on Wilcox from the existing access from the other dealerships. Next slide, please. So yeah, I mean, I would probably say that the biggest benefit coming from this development for the greater overall area are the lane modifications, not only for directly adjacent to this dealership, but also as you move north to the existing access, we're now creating a left turn lane, a acceleration lane heading south on Wilcox. So, I mean, the biggest key to this is there will be unimpeded southbound traffic on Wilcox as you continue south. So I'm sure if any of you have used this, it's pretty scary actually going southbound on Wilcox if you're trying to turn into the existing dealerships. I mean, this is long overdue. So I think the fact that staff and traffic, we kind of looked at the overall global picture here and kind of made this be incorporated within this approval is key to this whole thing. So the other nice thing too is that left turn lane, that left turn lane continues on to the access point on this same drive. So essentially you can get off to that turn lane and that will, you know, allow traffic to continue on Wilcox unimpeded in the southbound lanes as well. And as a part of this, we are creating bike lanes on both sides, on both the east and west sides of Wilcox as a part of this, that will essentially stretch from this proposed development on the south end all the way through the new CDRJ project that is being completed right now. So it's at least a start to start connecting some bike lanes in this area. Next slide, please. Just to kind of another zoom in of our access here that that shows the unimpeded southbound Wilcox lane. Just we'll be able to continue through here with a dedicated left turn lane to both the existing dealership and the proposed new dealership. Next slide, please. Landscape plan here. You know, just creating a nice buffer between Wilcox and the dealership, which is not present there now. It's a dirt mound. So creating, you know, extending that sidewalk through and, you know, creating that nice tree lawn there, I think is going to really, really help the aesthetics of the overall dealership, you know, as it's visible from I-25 and Wilcox. Building elevations here. So just to kind of touch on these building elevations a little bit. This dealership was originally intended to be a Hyundai dealership. Since then, that's a little bit up in the air. So we're not precisely going down the path with a specific dealer. So again, most dealerships these days have very high quality design standards similar to this, ACM, a lot of curtain wall in the front. But you know, once a it could very well be a Hyundai dealership, which is kind of what these building elevations represent. But you know, just a note to the project that, you know, let's say a different dealership, Genesis, were to come in, these building elevations would have to be amended. But again, this could be, it will be very similar, compatible materials. Any sort of amendment we'd have to go through would have to meet the design requirements of Castle Rock in that time. Next slide, please. Just some other examples of renderings of similar dealerships around the country here. Next slide, please. And the similar, just a rendering as well. A lot of curtain wall, you know, basically your standard dealership front, which would be a lot of curtain wall glass and ACM panel combination of. And that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
All right. Now I was a quiet one. This is a public hearing and is now open to public comment. Do we have anyone signed up? I'm assuming by not seeing anyone that we don't, but all right. When I call your name, please step forward. I'm going to finish reading the entire script. Come on, it's the first, it's a new script. I want to give it a run, right? Because we have a new script. I don't know if you guys know that we fixed it from last time. Okay. So here we go. This is a public hearing and is now open to public comment. When I call your name, please step forward to the microphone and clearly state your name, whether you are a resident or non-resident, your association with the application before the commission, and any financial or personal interest you may have with the application. If you have not signed up ahead of time, you'll have an opportunity to speak after we've gone through the list. In the interest of time, your comments will be are limited to 4 minutes. Please note, this is a time for you to provide comments to the commission for our consideration. The commission will not address questions at this time. However, we may ask staff or the applicant to provide follow-up information at the end of the comment period. What do you guys think?
Comments?
No, I mean.
Yeah, beautiful.
I thought the change was excellent.
The yellow part is beautiful.
Yeah, you guys did a wonderful job. Thank you. All right. If there's, I won't go through anyone sign up, right? Okay. Do any commission members have final questions of staff or the applicant before I close the public comment and refer this commission for a recommendation?
I do.
Questions, comments?
A couple questions. Yeah.
Please.
Is there any planned gates or blocking of that driveway at this time? That new entrance to the?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
And then as far as, it's great that you planned for the future. Just a question on the turn lanes and the acceleration lane. Did that include when Crystal Valley Parkway interchange opens up with all the increased flow of traffic?
Yeah, correct. And actually, when the traffic study contemplates opening of Crystal Valley Interchange, and maybe you're saying this, that actually relieves a lot of pressure off of Wilcox. To where, you know, people will be able to utilize I-25 a lot more to kind of make that jump. So it's anticipated that that will actually improve all of the traffic grades on Wilcox once that opens. Okay.
That's all I had.
That sounds easy. Yeah.
Anything else?
I have a couple questions now. First one, it's regarding code. It's probably half for you, half for him. No, I don't think it's included in the current code, but EV charging stations, I didn't notice them on the plans, but maybe I overlooked that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Brianna, do you have any, I guess, speaking to, can you state the code again for EV?
I don't know if I have my heart, and I know it's changing, so I don't know if you're covered under the one when you submitted or the one that is going to be effective when you build.
Yeah, so we don't have anything in our zoning code for any EV chargers. I do believe that there are some state statutes that may or may not apply, but that would apply at the time of building permit. So if it applies to the building code and there has to be some revisions, we could, you know, potentially do that administratively for EV chargers if they're required by the building code.
Thank you for the clarification, but I would encourage you that even if it's not covered under code.
Speaking on that, so currently I'm doing about four other dealerships, one in Broomfield, throughout the general area. And on every one of those projects, we're throughout, you know, the design and also construction, we are continuously adding more and more EV charging stations. So it's almost like we never have enough to start with in the design. We're constantly adding more. So that's just one space that I would speak to as far as these dealerships. The EV charging stations are increasing dramatically as far as how many are presented on site. So I would expect that would be very similar here, as all of the dealers are increasing their EV production dramatically. Along with that, they're also drastically increasing how many EV charging stations are on site.
Good. And again, not to wait on my vote, because you're complying with code, but are you planning to supplement that with renewables, like any solar panel installation? And the intent of my question is to mitigate the effect of the heat island that you're creating in that area.
Not at this time. There's no specific plan for that. But it is something that will be continually discussed throughout the process.
Okay. Thank you. And fire truck access? Because I noticed only one point of entry to the dealership, or did I miss that?
No, that's correct. There is only one point of access. Part of that is code-driven. We would not be allowed a second point of access along Wilcox, but it does have full circulation throughout the site, which allows fire truck, you know, ample, very, you know, many different options to get around the site. Although very close to the entry point, we do also have that secondary point coming from the south from the other dealership. Okay. Although not ideal, typically you would want those to be spaced further apart.
Mm-hmm. So I believe that the surface is not completely flat there, that you could have the fire truck just go over anywhere to the sidewalks, right? Like we do in some other places. So I was concerned that there is only one point of entry, but maybe staff wants to comment.
Yeah, so there's one point of access into this, but these dealerships connect together. Oh, sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Attack my mic.
Maybe
I'm
overlooked from my side, but yeah, I was concerned.
So they'll connect to the other dealerships to get to that other point of access for that left turn moment. So they'll have movement throughout all of these connecting dealerships.
Good. Thanks for that. And again, connected to EV staff. I'm sorry if I'm taking too much time, guys.
No.
Fire suppression, I know that the technology that you guys are going to be, well, the dealership is going to be offering for consumption, right? It's starting to divert radically from our ICE engines, right? So fire mitigation is different for a place that holds a lot of lithium or a lot of EVs compared to a traditional ICE or traditional motor engine, you know, dealership. Is there anything on the blueprints that I could identify as fire mitigation for EVs?
Well, that's a good point to bring up. And it's kind of an ever evolving piece of how these dealerships are handling the EV battery storage. What we have been seeing as a trend is actually creating an outbuilding, an outstructure, almost like a trash enclosure, but it's a fully enclosed structure that has temperature control, uh-huh. to where that's actually where the EV batteries, the kind of spare batteries are being stored. That is not shown on the site. So I think as that evolves, that may be, or if it's a part of the building, a lot of times we're putting those in 3-hour fire rated rooms, fully enclosed, you know, a 3-hour, like H occupancy room that is completely separated from the building by a 3-hour fire assembly.
Okay. Because I believe you don't depend or rely on water for that. So I know it's not in code, but how are we dealing with changing technologies like that, right? Like they pose a significant, not risk, but they need to be accounted for, how to deal with that. So question for staff. I know it's not in code right yeah. now, but.
We don't have anybody from fire here, so I'm going to give you my 2 cents on how that would be handled. But so they have annual and fire inspections, right? And fire code evolves. So they'll have to meet any fire code regulations concerning the storing of those materials. And, you know, I'm sure that over time, as these become more prevalent and best practices emerge, our fire code would adapt to that. And then the expectation for our commercial businesses, they would follow those okay. those updated codes.
Thank you for comment. And again, since not in code, all I can do is encourage you to make sure that you're yeah. properly set up.
Well, yeah, and you make a good point. Water doesn't put out the EV fires. So,
exactly.
So that's where the stance of kind of creating just a 3-hour fire room, basically enclosed in all block or some sort of concrete wall, and you just let it burn out if it were to happen.
Okay, thanks. And I have a final question at the end, which is not binding on my vote, but I'm interested in his opinion.
Go ahead and ask before we go.
No?
Before
is that okay? Okay, this is going back to the heat island kind of stuff, and it's more a design question and an open question, not to have any binding or weight on my vote. What can be done to mitigate that heat island effect and having these humongous parking lots that are like literally like islands full of cars and bring nothing to the town, right? To enhance the community's, you know, well-being. I understand that it's a product that is for sale, but from an architectural perspective, what can be done? Like, do we need to look at it from a different perspective to mm-hmm. enhance the quality of life of the town or the neighborhood
right.
and still not impeding the business?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes a little bit back to your first question regarding, you know, how are you supplementing the increased power that you are producing through these EV chargers? So one thing that we have seen a lot with other dealerships is creating photovoltaic canopies,
mm-hmm.
structures over the parking, which protects the cars as well, which is a good thing. And also helps supplement the energy usage. And I don't know, I mean, it probably helps a little bit with the heat island effect. I mean, your photovoltaic, as it's absorbing,
yeah.
you know, the sun's energy, that's better than asphalt, which absorbs and just, you know, releases that heat back into the environment. You know, one thing that staff and we would like to do, it could be worse. I know it's still great, but the yeah. breakup of the landscape islands, you know, instead of having a full continuous row of parking, they are broken up intermittently in between with a landscape island that with trees and landscaping. But of course, it's always a battle between all the different factors going in as far as the dealership goes. Their inventory is critical to the financial viability mm-hmm. of the business to be able to utilize and gain benefit from the property.
Okay. Thanks for your answer, though. I'm still interested in somehow looking to the future that these type of places enhance the community rather than just being like a huge marketplace, right? Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Martinez, do you have any questions?
At this time, I do not.
Okay. I'd like to just a quick comment on the proposed time frame here. I know you're recommending or acknowledging that you don't yet have a current plan for the dealership itself. It's to which company? Would that impede? Does that alter the time frame? What are we looking at?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be able to speak to that, being the architect. Okay. for Foundation Automotive. I'd have to connect with them. I know that they don't like vacant land just sitting there that they own. They like it to be bringing value to them and also the community. So it's an ongoing pursuit to find the right dealer for this. Sure. This property. So I know that they are aggressively pursuing that. I just wouldn't be able to give an estimated time frame on what that might look like.
So the time frame on the actual building being built, any concept on that then?
You know, the whole it can happen super fast. You know, it's kind of, sure, you're putting out all these feelers to all these different dealers.
It's a standard build, so it's having
it's pretty fast. So that was a part of the strategy to go through all of the public hearings to get the actual dealership approved, because when the time comes when a dealership is selected or selects this site, they want to move very quickly. So having this phase complete and kind of hopefully minimizing that process to be administrative from that point on should hopefully accelerate that once a dealer is chosen.
Sure. So this is preparatory for that decision to happen. So when it does happen, you'll be ready to go.
Correct.
If I'm understanding correctly.
Yep, okay. That's right.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. I now close the public hearing and bring the item back to commission for any further discussion and a motion. Should we propose a motion or have a discussion?
Motion. I move to recommend the approval of the Foundation Auto Dealership Site Development Plan, Lot 1, Foundation Automotive Filing 1, to Town Council as proposed.
We have a second?
I second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Recording Secretary, please take the roll call vote.
Commissioner Martinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Salinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stanley?
Aye.
Commissioner Sawin?
Aye.
And Chair Warnke?
Aye. The motion is approved by a vote of 5-0. Thank you. All right. Do we have a town council liaison update?
No town council liaison, so I can cover a little bit of stuff in the staff update.
All right. Before then, we also, our design review board person isn't here, so
I'm happy to provide an update since I am the liaison to that board too. So I,
all right.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I can give you. They did recently meet and approved site improvements to the Lutheran Eternal Rock Church, which is just on the other side of the Encore building. Mm-hmm. So they're hoping to, they'll improve their parking lot and add landscaping to that site.
All right. Check for a quorum for upcoming meetings, October 23rd. I do believe that Commissioner McHugh had something that was going to hold him back. How about the rest of us?
And I won't be here.
And you
either.
Won't be here.
But I am here November 13th.
Okay. What about you?
Like 30% certain I'll be here.
30% certain?
That's pretty low.
Okay.
32.
Percentage. Okay. 32? Can you be more precise? I know I won't be here on the 23rd because I could be here, but chances are I'll be on some pretty powerful.
Yeah. We're not anticipating an item. We'll be confirming that tomorrow because noticing requirements are just hitting. So,
right.
We don't. I know Sharon didn't want to confuse people by sending a cancellation
right
the day before a planning commission meeting that was happening.
Oh, okay.
You know, so because I know somebody might just see in their email like, oh, right, it got canceled, yeah, thinking it was for this opportunity.
So we are anticipating 23rd being canceled? What about the 13th?
We don't know.
Okay. So far enough, anybody have a problem with 13th?
The number or the date?
I love the number. Will Chamberlain's number.
Okay.
Any other problems? Okay, so
I'm good.
All right, so
and that'll be the only one in November.
Yeah.
Okay. The 27th will be canceled.
So staff update, you have anything to cover us on that part?
Yes. So on Tuesday night, town council did hear the two most recent items that you guys heard, the Brickyard and Bella Mesa North, and those were both approved by town council by a vote of 7-0.
7-0.
All right. Any commission items to raise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, may I?
Yes.
So I keep bringing this topic up, right? And it's not about zoning. It's not about what is in the code. Right, we're supposed to be striving for a good community feel and to make sure that the quality of life of the townhood is good. Dealerships, it's a perfect example. Just like the hospital or the offices that work that came here like a month ago, there are huge islands of asphalt. Mm-hmm. How does that enhance the quality of life of people in town? Right, I know it's a product. I know it's according to code, it's totally fine, but there has to be a better way. That is my opinion. Again, not binding to anything. And it might be part of design, it might be part of zoning, but somebody has to take ownership of that. Now we're gonna end up with another huge island of heat island, right? That yes, they sell cars, but there are ways, right? We have to think forward, right? Like at the end, when those dealerships go vacant, which we have seen, just like Kmart's go vacant, right? We end up with monoliths of nothing. That just bring despair and backwards gentrification to the town. I guess my point is, how can we foster good architecture? You know, community-driven architecture. And that is my point.
Okay.
It's really open for commentary more than anything else. But if you guys feel that it's good to have a Kmart in, that's fine too.
I guess my stance is, yeah. I guess my challenge is for you, ooh, what community or example, uh-huh, that you can find that does it better.
But why do we need to find an example and not be the first?
Because I think in my stance, because I see a lot of blueprints, a lot of plans, mm-hmm, a lot of STPs in my job, Castle Rock does require a lot, pretty large islands. Some other municipalities don't require as much as far as trees, bushes, shrubbery. So I guess my stance is Castle Rock is pretty good at requiring more of that. I just don't think, and I've never seen in my job or my history, what is a better way to do it. So even like California, for example, mm-hmm, their codes are really ahead of everybody else, right? As far as heat islands and being energy efficient, California's still putting in asphalt parking lots. They're still doing the same thing. So I don't know. I guess that's my challenge to you, is what is a better alternative?
Simple with dealerships, if I may give an example.
Well, okay, before I go too far down the line, I think it's a great discussion. The only thing I have to say is it's not a discussion for Planning Commission. It's not that we shouldn't be.
Then where? Well, that's my point.
Give me just a moment. There's multiple spots for input for that. One of those are those three community meetings that had one person show up, where you're actually talking to that process at that point in it. We have a set of criteria to evaluate on. I think it's great to introduce other issues and topics here. I 100% agree.
Okay.
But at the same time, the input process for that's there. And the other input process for that is for the people who write those regulations, which would be town council. Okay, both of those are the two areas where there's input for that process as a deliberating body. Certainly, I think it's a great idea to propose and bring those topics up, but we aren't going to move that wheel forward at all or backwards, because that's not our criteria for making a decision on. That is the input cycle for that happens at those meetings and at town council to be able to push them to make changes to ordinances.
Okay. Now, let me pose a question
and
to staff.
I would follow up with staff. That's correct.
If they were paying attention. No.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, any regulations, usually, you know, town staff will, we will wait until we are directed by town council to take that time and resources to study that. Yeah. So if town council were to direct staff or the town manager were to direct staff to draft some ideas and regulations, we would absolutely be happy to do so.
Right. So we're just clarify, we're a review and recommendation.
Correct. Yeah, this is commentary.
And move
absolutely.
Forward. Yeah. And so I 100% agree. I mean, I think it's great. And I have seen some communities, Arizona and some communities have that now required. If you're going to build a parking lot, you have to put photovoltaics over top of it, which make for certain type of parking lots, which makes perfect sense. And we have enough sunlight here to make it perfect sense for us as well. On the other hand, the input process for that is to the dealer in this case and say, you want to be a good neighbor ahead of time? Great, but there's no requirement for it. To the town to say, you want to make a requirement for that? Yeah, but at this point.
And then the question would be for staff, right? Like, how could we foster better architecture outside regulation, right? Like, we may not have the tools, but how can we hint? He's laughing like there's no
home. Yeah. No, I'm just saying.
I agree. Yeah. But like they said, there's a process, and it has to come from town council. They can't just wave a wand and say we're going to change stuff, because you have to do processes, you have to do committees, right? You have to research what are we doing, especially when we're adopting new codes. A lot of towns will do amendments. So I've been part of some towns where they're talking about adopting the new energy code. And it's like, okay, what does our town need or not need within this energy code? Let's make amendments. So you submit your amendments and they vote on it, and they're either going to accept the amendment or change to the code, or they're going to accept the code as it is.
In other words, again, great ideas.
But not the place. Okay.
But not the place. Other than I mentioned.
Yeah, well, and actually, probably could have included this in my update, but as part of the budget for next year, town council did include money to update the town's comprehensive plan.
Right.
And that could be also a good forum to have some of those overarching conversations about those things.
Forward thinking.
We're thinking community about, building. You know, the future. It'll be the 2040 plan. Yep. And, you know, part of that plan should have an implementation plan. And, you know, so that could, hey, what are the town's priorities? And then, you know, those could be, and then trickle down into the implementation, could be revising code for architectural standards, revise code to do that. So that could be a good, also an additional forum to have those conversations through the comprehensive plan update, yep, which will probably span most of next year.
Okay.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, but Advent Health, the one that's going on Gilbert and Plum Creek, and those public meetings, they took a lot of that and they actually made changes.
Yeah.
And I think some of those was a parking lot.
Yeah, and they added more strawberry and more trees. But that's a perfect example. Sorry, 2 minutes? 1 minute? 20 seconds? Or you want to cancel?
One minute.
Those were mostly like physician offices in those big buildings. There is nothing keeping them from breaking them down into multiple, you know, like little town kind of feeling. You don't need a monolithic 40,000 square feet building.
There is something that stops that. Cost. More walls. That's the reason for a monolith. And once again, that's a decision, though, that is not, that's the decision of the landowner, and then it's the decision of town to make a decision, make a regulation on that, not a decision here. That's my point, is that here we do have a process we need to follow through, and there's no public here, so we aren't dealing with that.
Right.
But the point of that flow is that we do have a flow, and the input is the various spots for it, and you know, a property owner is going to say, yeah, I have every reason in the world not to have to build twice the amount of external footage to accomplish the same amount of internal footage. It makes sense from that viewpoint. It makes sense from all sorts of other viewpoints. Now, you know, you could come back the other side and say, you're going to tell them to use twice as many resources to build?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a push and pull. It's a push and pull both ways. Mm-hmm. So
they will save energy.
But this is not the spot to do that.
Okay.
Then it's a spot to make a comment.
How about here? I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, as far as the comprehensive plan, I anticipate planning commission, it's going to be one of your plans. You'll be pretty involved in it. Well, we're just starting the process of putting together an RFP, and so how that structures, you know, advisory committees, etc. But planning commission will play a prominent role in that process.
Sounds great. Any further comments?
No, thank you for allowing the comments. Thank you, guys.
No more.
But that was scary, though. Like, I know they're connected in the back now that you clarify that. But, like, the first site, it's like one entry and it's tiny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like, what?
Yep.
In the world.
All right. Time is now 6:40 and I move to adjourn the meeting. Do I hear a second?
I second.
She seconded twice
second.
Today.
Recording secretary, please take the roll call vote.
Commissioner Martinez?
Aye.
Commissioner Salinas?
Aye.
Commissioner Stanley?
Aye.
Commissioner Salwin?
Aye.
And Chair Warnke?
Aye. The motion is approved by a vote 5-0. Thank you. We're now adjourned.